can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Movies Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and with me today is the lovely Ariane.
Hello, everyone.
And today, we are talking about Netflix movies, specifically Netflix originals. And we'll be starting off our episode talking about Oscar-winning Netflix originals, and then we're going to be ending with the ever-so-popular Netflix original To All the Boys I've Loved Before. So
I love Netflix.
Netflix is amazing. The convenience, quality content, everything about it. Yeah. I am super excited that we're looking specifically at Netflix originals, because I think that's like probably the future of where movie making and everything and production is going to go.
Right, because people are so busy. They don't want to sit there and schedule their time around a show that's, you know, time slot is 5 to 6. And
right.
You're just like, oh, I'm still at work. But then they came out with the DVR and all this stuff.
Right. Really, everything's just getting more and more convenient over time.
Oh, yeah. Except I don't like how they show the whole season, because I don't know how to pace myself. So I'll binge watch a whole show.
That is the beauty of streaming.
I know.
Well, sometimes you can get some services that'll show you just a few at a time.
Yeah.
But, you know, mostly it's a lot of binging.
Like, no, I need to find out what happens.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch the next episode.
Sure. For sure. I mean, yeah, that's my preferred evening plan.
Right.
So the first movie we're talking about, the two Oscar-winning movies from Netflix are both documentaries. And the first one is the 2016 film The White Helmets. And this was directed by Orlando Von Insadel?
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Yeah. And this is, it won for Best Documentary Short Subject, and that was at the Academy Awards in, I believe, 2017.
This is such a good film.
Oh,
my gosh.
This is so good. I completely understand why it won.
Oh, yeah, me too.
For sure.
Me too.
So, again, this is a short documentary. It's like 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's not
that long.
So
it's not a full length. Yeah, exactly. So you should really watch it. Mm-hmm. It's not very long, but it is very impactful.
Right. Most shorts are under, I want to say, 50 minutes even. They don't even go all the way up to an hour or anything like that.
I was surprised by how short it was.
Right.
And so this film is about Syria, and as the airstrikes are just bombs and things are being dropped on civilian targets, there is a group of first responders. Mm-hmm. And in the film, the title, The White Helmets, is the name of their group, but they are officially called the Syria Defense Force Volunteers.
Right.
AKA the White Helmets.
Right, because they wear white helmets.
Yes, exactly. So they wear white helmets and they have like a light on it and everything. Yeah. So it helps them to be identified and to protect themselves.
Right.
And they work, the group that is followed in this film works in Aleppo and across Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And it also follows them as they do training in Turkey as well. And I think that's what you were saying, is like it's a month long.
Yeah, it was a month long training from what they were saying. And oh my gosh, I felt so bad. Because the seriousness of the bombings that were going on, and then for them to just have to leave like their families for this month-long training. I mean, I can only imagine the stress on them to be in a safe place while their family is still in Syria. You know, it was sad.
It was, it really pulled at all my heartstrings.
Right.
For sure. And I was surprised, but for how short it was so impactful.
Oh, it was.
There was no wasted time.
Right. And they just gave you so much information. Mm-hmm. I think it was mostly with the visual, too, because it's like they didn't speak a lot, and it was subtitles, so they were speaking their language.
Mm-hmm.
But even just watching it, you're just like, oh my gosh, you're gonna cry at any right. moment. I'm yeah. not really a oh, big for sure. crier, but I'm just like, I would though. Yeah. I wanna cry.
Yeah. yeah. No, and I think anyone who watches it will be impacted, and specifically the director was extremely impacted by the work of the mm-hmm. White Helmets, because he was inspired to make the documentary when he saw footage of them rescuing a baby from that was trapped under rubble. And yes. you actually see that scene in the movie.
Right.
That inspired the director. And it's mm-hmm. it's amazing. Right. Oh my God.
The baby was, they said, 1 week old.
Yes. And they found the baby alive.
Yeah.
And still alive today.
Right.
And so the director, Orlando, when he saw this video, he became really inspired by the group. And he went to go find them. And he asked if he could join them when they were on their training in Turkey. Mm-hmm. And that's when he films their training. That's that part of the movie.
Right.
And then while there, he asked one of the members, Khalid Kateb, mm-hmm. who is a member of the White Helmets, and he asked him if he would volunteer to document their work on video camera, because he had kind of been doing that informally earlier.
Right.
And he became the videographer / cinematographer
right.
for all the other shots when they were in Syria. Mm-hmm. And when this film went to the Oscars, unfortunately, Khalid couldn't go to the Oscars because of the travel ban was put in place at the time.
Yeah.
So he couldn't be there in person when they won. So it's so sad. The film just has so many parts about it that are really relevant.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And definitely, I feel like everyone should watch it. I mean, it relates to like the travel ban that was going on. That's why he mm-hmm. couldn't come.
Exactly.
You know, and about a film that is like speaking to try like to really, I feel like, motivate people to help Syrians and to really see what's going on.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, because I hadn't, after watching this, before watching this, mm-hmm. I had no idea it was as bad as it was. Mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, you know, another rough country, you know, people want to come to a better place kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then watching this, I was like, oh my gosh, I would have been gone. Like, especially with like having kids, and they're just like, we have no way. It's like, you do what you can to get out, and then you come to America and you're just like, oh, you can't be here. That hurt.
Right.
My
and then you get
so
like,
bad.
Right. And then you get kicked out.
Yeah.
Or get or kicked out of
you
other
can't
country.
Even come here. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. God, it was so hard to watch.
Yeah. And I think the hardest thing, and this is just a thing about documentaries, is that it's so hard to watch, and it's reality.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's what's going on right now.
Well,
and
that's why it's hard to watch.
Yeah. You like watch all these people and you like, you love them, and then mm-hmm. they're real people who are really going through this every day.
And it just like wakes you up to really what other people are going through. You mm-hmm. know, you can have as much hate in your heart as you want if you want to be like, oh no, forget them, they're mm-hmm. just, but then you watch something that's like, they are really going through the most right now. Like, people are dropping bombs and people are dying, and right. they're just trying to save their families. Because me being a mom, I would do anything to just make sure my kids are okay. Like, even if I had to just send them, you guys just go, as long mm-hmm. as, you know, you can make a way. But it's just so hard because it's like, oh, I can only imagine what them and their families are going through.
Yeah. Just the constant stress.
Yeah.
And there's so many beautiful things in this movie too. Like, despite the struggles, is just like the camaraderie that all the White Helmets have together. Yeah. Like, this group of men who's trying so hard to help their mm-hmm. town, and who when they speak about like someone that they're saving, they're like, this is my brother, or right. this is my child.
Exactly.
You know, it was really beautiful.
Right. They connect like on a family level. And it's interesting too, because even the White Helmets, the guys mm-hmm. who are being rescued, they all refer to each other as like brother. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like a religious thing or if mm-hmm. they really like, no, this is, you know, how their culture is. And I thought it was mm-hmm. amazing. Another thing I was telling Heidi earlier is I thought it was so cool how the men, how much affection they showed each other, and, you know, people that they were pulling out, kids, like, they just wanted to make sure everybody was safe.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like this is, like, it's like kind of corny to say, but this is a situation where I really felt it, of like all of their actions were driven by love.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I totally agree. I know we were talking about this earlier, but also just like the affection they had, and that they just weren't ashamed of how close they were.
Exactly.
You know, and like hugging each other and trying to reassure each other and comfort each other.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing.
Right. My favorite scene, especially when you were saying, comfort each other and mm-hmm. hug each other. So there was a part in there where one dude was waiting to get news about his brother, because he was gone in training for a month, and he found in the news that his brother could have possibly been in one of the bombs and might not have made it. And the one who was watching from a distance, one of his teammates, I guess, or
fellow volunteers,
was like, I wish he would just cry it out. Because he was holding it in, and I was like, right. And he was like, because the same thing happened to me, and he just needs to cry.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, you guys, it's okay to cry, fellas. Right.
Yeah, and I know. And that was so hard, because they almost talked about it so matter-of-factly, because it had, like, happened to all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they all experienced the loss.
They all had been through that.
Yeah.
And just, like, them saying, like, yeah, like, my two-year-old child, when a plane goes by, knows the word bomb.
Right.
You know, and will say, like, is that a bomb, Dad? And it was just so sad.
It really was. It really was. Oh, my gosh. This is such a good film, though.
Right. It's so such good. A good film. I would definitely say you should definitely watch it. It's only 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's honestly, for me, like, it's both motivating, but then at the same time, like, heartbreaking and, like, debilitating, because it's like, how do you fix something that is just so wrong? That is going on.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And definitely a perspective, too, because as much as you want to be like, oh, they can help themselves, they can do this, they can go anywhere else.
All these refugees, like, coming in, taking, like, resources. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. As much as much as you want to say that, when you really see this film and see what people are trying to leave from.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah. Oh, yeah. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it really is. Also, another news related to this. In December of 2016, George Clooney announced that he was in the early stages of developing a feature-length film based on the documentary.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think his film would be a documentary. I think it would be more fiction, but based off of what's going on and some of the documentary things they talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a great film. Definitely something that would be very moving.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we wish George Clooney the best in that, and I'll be excited to see it.
Oh, yeah,
and,
me too.
Yeah, you guys should definitely go see this.
Bring a box of tissues.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, hunker down, sit on your couch, wrap yourself in a blanket, get some tissues, you know, some hot tea or cocoa or something, and just kind of cry it out. Don't be ashamed.
Don't. just cry.
Hug your neighbor.
I know.
So the next film we want to talk about is also a Netflix original Oscar winner. And I just want to briefly mention it before we go on break. But you guys might have heard of it. It's called Icarus.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is a 2017 documentary directed by Brian Fogel. And in the Academy Awards, let's see, it won Best Documentary Feature Length, so not the short length. And I think it won in 2017 or 2018.
I think it was 2018 because it was made later in
2017. We haven't have we had Oscars yet? I don't know.
See, now I feel all out of the loop.
I feel really out of loop for all award season. But it won an Academy Award in the 90th Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature.
Right.
And we will take a break and then we will continue talking about Icarus.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movies Podcast. So we recently, before the break, we introduced, we were talking about the film Icarus, a Netflix original documentary. And we just want to clarify that it won Best Documentary Feature at the 90th Academy Awards, which was in 2018, March. So it won this year as we are recording. And it is about, so the director of the film is Brian Fogel, and he also kind of, I guess you could say, stars in the film.
Yeah, because he played the cycle, like the main cyclist guy.
Yes. So, and so it being a documentary, it basically chronicles Brian's exploration of the sports doping. Mm-hmm. And he starts talking about cycling. Yeah. So like the Tour de France and all of the scandal about Lance Armstrong mm-hmm. Being on steroids. And so he wants to go investigate this. And he, as he's investigating it and as it chronicles him participating in a steroids program yeah. to go into an amateur cycling race,
yeah.
he is introduced to Grigory Rodchenkov, who yeah. Is a Russian chemist. And so he's introduced to him to help for Grigory to help Brian in his mm-hmm. steroid use, essentially, for this cycling race
yeah.
To kind of see like how the scandal happened and right. how someone could use steroids but still not be caught in sports.
Right.
And as he's doing this, it kind of ends up, he gets caught up in like the story of the international doping scandal
mm-hmm.
and you kind of learn more about Grigory and Grigory, what he's yeah. up to.
Well, he was, just to clarify that, Grigory was the former head of Russia's National Anti-Doping Laboratory
oh, yes.
at the Anti-Doping Center in Russia.
Yes, that's his official title. Yeah. So he's the head of the department.
Former head, yeah.
Former head, yes. Oh, God.
Watch this. The oh, end my God. Is just, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so he's the former head
yes.
of this laboratory, and mm. he's the person that Brian is pointed to
yeah.
to go to as Brian is trying is taking drugs to be a part of this cycling race.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is also crazy that you go to the head of a laboratory uh-huh. about anti-doping
right.
to learn how to do a doping program, mm-hmm. which again, if you watch this documentary, yeah. you will see.
Well, it was crazy to me how he got connected with Grigory in the first place.
Yes.
Because he got connected by the UCLA guy
anti-doping
yeah, well,
specialist.
Yeah. And he's the guy who actually designed the test to track any kind of steroids or anything in your system.
Right.
And so he was like, oh, yeah, I'm friends with this guy. If that's what you're looking for, I'll just give you his number. I'm not going to tell you what you'll get from him.
Right. Yeah.
So it was like very discreet. But when he called him, it's like he helped him with everything.
Everything.
Oh, my gosh.
It's insane. I'll just say when you start this film, you think you're going into one thing.
Yeah.
And it goes
so
crazy.
Much deeper.
Yeah. You get everything.
Yeah. And I don't think Brian even realized how, you know, mixed up he mm-hmm. was really getting himself into.
Yeah.
Like it was so crazy. I kept telling my sister this. She watched part of it with me and I was just like, I don't even think he knows what he's getting himself into right now. Like, does he know? And then you could see the worry on Brian's face mm-hmm. because while he's talking to Grigory, like, they show a lot of Skype chats between them
mm-hmm.
and it almost makes it seem like Grigory doesn't understand the depth of the, you know, situation he's in.
Yeah.
Cause he kind of just plays it off a lot.
Right.
He's just like, oh no, it's fine.
He tells Brian everything.
Yeah.
And so Brian and Grigory basically form a friendship.
Oh, yeah.
As they're doing this. So they mm-hmm. become friends. So you can tell that Brian cares about Grigory.
Yeah.
And so as this whole thing continues, so like Brian is in the US and he's going to go to this amateur cycling race, like on basically having done mm-hmm. a whole steroids program.
Yeah.
And this race is in Europe and France.
Right.
And then he's going to go meet Grigory afterwards. And they're kind of going to talk about like basically how Brian went through the steroid program and mm-hmm. how steroids are not, you can't test for them.
Right.
So like how he got away with it.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Oh, yeah. And this amateur race that Brian enters himself mm-hmm. in France, I heard it's worse or it's harder than the Tour de France.
Yeah. Brian says it's like all the most difficult parts of the Tour de France they yeah. take and put it in this race.
Yeah.
And that race is called the Route.
Yeah, it takes like 7 days.
Yes,
to complete.
Yeah, and there are like scenes when they're doing it, like it's raining and they're yeah. going uphill. It's insane.
Yeah, it is.
And Brian is a good cyclist. He had done this race previously while not on steroids.
Exactly.
So they were doing it this time on steroids to kind of see how his performance was, and right. just to see like could he get away with it?
Exactly.
You know, how do cyclists do that?
Right.
So I mean,
or any athlete,
right?
In general.
Any athlete, yeah. Which is also you're going into a movie about cycling, and it really just goes into the whole international sports world.
Right.
And it is insane.
It really is. Oh my gosh. This movie blew my mind as
yes,
far as
I
just
agree.
You know, how crazy the government is involved in certain things. And I'm not speaking specifically our government, but the governments that are involved in the situation, it's like they really don't care, and they, oh my gosh, and they are ruthless. As right. I cut myself off, I'm just like, they are ruthless. They just don't even care. There was a scene that scared the mess out of me when Gregory was like, they have no morality. They will kill you. Like, they don't
yes.
care.
Oh my gosh. Also, I do feel like of the two documentaries we're talking about, I would say if you are a big fan of Russia, you may not like these documentaries.
Right, exactly. Right. Like the previous one
when they talk about who's bombing them,
yeah,
it's like the Russians.
It's yeah. like, oh my gosh.
And I don't feel bad saying that because that is a fact.
It really is.
The Russians are bombing Syria exactly. and Syrian civilians. And in this film, Gregory is a Russian scientist. And let me just say, the scandal that goes on.
He's
insane.
Like their Snowden, because he yes. was blowing the whistle on everything. Like, he just laid it out.
Right. And he, because he knew all of it, because he headed the program. And it, oh my gosh.
And it was crazy how he was so comfortable telling Brian all this from Jump
Street.
Who's
making a documentary about it.
It's like, okay, you're just all nonchalant. Yeah, I'll tell you all the business. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait. And then when all the business gets out,
right?
Then that's when all the governments are like, right. oh, we know the FBI comes and visits Gregory right. and Brian, and the Russians are like killing people. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And also, and I think in the beginning of the documentary, before the whole scandal breaks, even the scientist that Greg or that Brian is talking to at UCLA, he's basically saying, like, you can't make sure that no one breaks the system.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't make it 100%
right.
safe. So it kind of feels like people, specifically the scientists, not necessarily the people who are like running the politics of it, but the scientists are all kind of saying, like, yes, you can cheat the system.
Oh, exactly.
And we're all aware of this. You know, like, Lance Armstrong
nothing
did it.
Nothing is 100%.
You know? Yeah, nothing is 100%. And that kind of leads Brian into this story of, like, oh, everyone says I can, like, can I?
Right.
Also, I would have to say this is, maybe this is like a trigger warning, but it affected me. I cannot watch, like, needles or, like, shots.
Right.
And Brian does steroids in this film. So
he
injects
style.
Into himself the steroids, which I'm sure everyone who knows about steroids is like, of course, Heidi, that's how they work, which I knew. And then I watched the film and I'm like, why does it keep happening?
Yeah,
it keeps happening.
If you can't watch stuff like that, then just like close your eyes.
Yes.
Be forewarned that they show him injecting his self.
Yes. And it, and I like the, I was watching with a friend and she had to like hold my hand because I was like, why does it keep happening? They just keep doing it. And she's like, he does it every day. And I'm like, I know.
But still, even when he so changes much. From his thigh to like
to his
the
butt. Yeah.
It's oh my god, I can't watch. And then he's just slight nudity because it shows him.
Yeah, it's
you know,
a documentary.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm not good with blood. So when he's like, I'm bleeding, I'm like, oh no, I can't watch this.
Yeah. And I just keep being like, I'm so scared. Who knows when he's going to pull out the needle any moment.
Oh,
now.
I know.
Because he's like popping pills the whole time.
Yeah.
Because that's, he has to.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah, that got me. But that wasn't the entire film. So
it really,
thankfully.
It's just, if you're fearful or something like that, of course it's going to have an effect.
Yeah. But you can get through it. I got through it. You can get through it.
Yeah, I totally got through it.
Yeah.
Too.
No. So this movie is crazy.
There's so many
twists and turns. You have to see it.
Right.
I totally understand why it won an award.
Oh yeah.
And the director, he still is winning awards for this. He's going to an award season in a few months because everyone is like saying how amazing this film is. And it really is. It really is.
Oh yeah. And it's interesting to me how, you know, of course it's a documentary and it's all real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And sometimes it kind of makes you not, you don't really feel like that's really what's going on until it starts to talk about like, oh, well, the FBI is involved and they're doing this. And then they like blur people's faces out and change their voices. And then the depth of Gregory's like concern, like he had to leave his wife and kids.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, I felt so bad for her.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh, like, your husband is gone now. Like, not dead, but
he's gone. Like how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't know.
Really
it's crazy.
Don't.
Oh, you should really watch it.
Yeah.
Again, this is another film where maybe you curl up with a blanket and a warm beverage and just like you have to strap in for the ride.
Yeah.
Because it is crazy.
Or don't have a warm beverage because I wanted to throw stuff. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah. Have like a pencil you can break nearby.
Exactly. But this, I loved this show. I really like documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just like learning about things and what's going on. So this was like one of my favorites.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, we should watch more documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Do.
It was
let's
so
do.
Great. Okay, so we're going to take another break, and then we're going to be talking about our final film, To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Movie Podcast. We are ending our show with the super popular Netflix original, To All the Boys I've Loved Before. I had heard so much about this film. I didn't know what it was until like my roommates started coming up to me, my coworkers, right. My friends were texting me about it. Instagram was blowing up about it.
I kept seeing it on my Netflix, like their ads that they show like before you choose your show or whatever. That's where I kept seeing it on. But I've never heard of it. So I'm like, oh, wait, what's that?
Yeah. And the only reason, again, the only reason I had heard of it is because everyone just told me about it. And I had also seen the commercials, but I was like, that's a long title. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to remember that. Boys, what?
Right.
But it's based off of a novel by Jenny Han, and it's directed by Susan Johnson. It is about a high school junior, Laura Jean Covey, and she writes love letters to all the boys that she falls passionately in love with, but then she hides them all away and never shows anyone, and basically like keeping all of her romances in just the fantasy realm, like just in her dreams. But then one day these letters get out, and everything just becomes a horrifying reality for her.
Oh my god. So wait, she like actually fell in love with, or just had strong feelings for
I mean, you could say she kind of falls in love with like one of them. Like she writes them when she's also very young. She wrote like the first one in like middle school, like a camp crush. And so she like wrote a letter to like this guy, but you know, never sent it and kept it. And then the last one that she writes a letter for is kind of the boy that she says she really did love. But it's complicated because that's the boy that dates her sister. So then she's like, no one can ever read these. But then the letters get out. So the craziness that ensues, it's kind of like, it really is every like young girl's like nightmare. So I would say this is solidly in the genre of young adult romance. And I thought it was really cute. I would definitely say there were so many moments where I was like, that was like such a cute little detail that they kind of put in. And Laura Jean is really cute. I also think her style is really adorable. Actually, when I was looking into this, as I've said before, it's super popular. Like, I found this like article that was like, I dressed in her outfits every day for like a month or something. I was like, man, people are super into this. So it stars Lana Condor, who plays Laura, and then Noah Centineo, who plays the other like love interest, Peter.
And this is the final one. The final love interest?
Yeah, like the final. Well,
the brother-in-law.
I guess you would
maybe
say not that one. She kind of writes two letters that are like high school crushes. And the one is the boy who is dating her sister. And then the other one is like her crush, kind of also in high school. So
that's not weird.
Noah Centineo, who who plays Peter, is like the other letter she writes, the other boy, not her sister's boyfriend. I would also say Lana Condor and Noah Centineo have become huge stars because of this movie. It was kind of like a breakout role for them, super popular. So good for them. I also, my friend saw this movie like four times. And she was like, you have to see it. Maybe I'm like a cynic, you know, like maybe I just have a cold heart, but I watched it and I was like, this is cute. But I would not watch this four times, nor do I think it's like super worth the hype. It is definitely young adult. So maybe not for me. You know, obviously as a mature as a young, mature adult, it's not for me. I would say there were some, for me at least, there were some parts that were like a little awkward, like maybe a few lines that were a little cringy, and like a few moments that I didn't quite believe with the acting. There's like a scene when the sisters are kind of fighting, like chasing each other. Then I was like, that was kind of awkward. You weren't running at full speed. Like, that's kind of weird. But other than that, I would say the whole idea of it and everything is really adorable. I also really enjoyed that the main character, Laura Jean, and her her family. So she has three sisters, or there are three girls in the family.
Oh, okay.
And her mother is Asian, Korean, and then her father is white. And so I just think it's like, for me, that's relatable. Like really adorable, that it's like relatable. Uh-huh. And like, I really enjoyed seeing a young adult protagonist who's like of mixed Asian descent, which I had never seen before. And so I feel like, oh, yay, young adult, way to be, like, way to be
exactly
modern,
cultural,
I guess.
So, yeah, exactly.
Well, not even modern. I mean, that's just relevant, but it's not like people haven't looked like that before. But I just I just think it was adorable that I could see someone who kind of, like, related to me on even the small screen. I thought it was great. And I just think it's cute, you know? I think teenagers would love it.
Yeah,
I think it's really adorable.
So it's like a chick flick. Would you call it a chick flick?
Yeah, I would say it's a chick flick. When my another roommate of mine was walking past me as I was watching this, and she was like, "You haven't seen this yet?" And it was like her and her boyfriend, and they're like, "Yeah, you haven't seen it yet? It's so popular." And I'm like, "Everyone has seen it.
Right.
Not just like not just girls." Like,
okay, so it's for everybody.
Yeah, it's for everyone. I think it's cute. I would definitely suggest watching it if you're looking for like a romance. I would say this is a good one.
Okay.
And I would say like some of the struggles that Laura Jean faces are realistic and aren't just like she doesn't end up at the end as a perfect person.
Oh,
I would say
is?
It's yeah, exactly, who which is like a little more realistic. You know, like she's not a perfect person. The love interest isn't the perfect guy.
Right.
But it's something that like she takes a leap of faith. You know, and I think like oh, like that's more realistic. You know, so I think that was very cute. And a good way to end it.
Right. So I know if you're going to write love notes and keep delete them after, don't keep them on paper so this doesn't happen to you.
Well, part of the thing is that like she writes the address on the envelope.
Oh, like she's going to really mail it out.
Yeah. But that's actually part of the story is that she writes the address and her sisters are like, you know, you're horrified, but we know that a part of you does want to send this.
Yeah.
Like a part of you doesn't just want to live in fantasy, you know? And I think that was like, that was a good part, you know? Right. You got to live out your dreams in reality.
Exactly. If you choose not to send it and you don't want it to get taken, you know, out.
Don't put
it
with the address, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have to use fake names.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want to do with that.
Yeah, fake names are good.
Right. I write things down all the time and then I just keep them to myself or like I'll put it in my notepad in my phone and then I'll be like, okay, I'll delete that.
Right, just immediately
I got
shred.
It out. I'm done.
You got to shred it like the Banksy painting.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, oh so thank you guys so much for joining us on this Netflix movies episode and we hope you will tune in next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.